Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
Hey, anyone watch the biathlon in the Olympics a couple weeks ago? I was watching it. It's a deal where guys cross and girls cross-country ski with a rifle on their back, and they cross-country ski, then they stop, and each one has a lane and a specific target that they have to shoot at, and then they ski more, shoot more, ski more, shoot more. So I was watching it one day, and trying to be funny, like I do, I tweeted, "I really like the biathlon because it's so practical. These are the people who I want in snowy conditions to defend my country, hunt my food, and kill my enemies." So I tweet that. Someone tweets back to me, "But Vince, doesn't Jesus say to love your enemies?" So I replied to him, "Yes, that's what makes it funny. It's a joke." He replies to me, "I couldn't tell. You should put smiley faces by your joke so we know you're joking. That's what I always do." And I was so mad, I dropped the F-bomb. I forgave him. Yeah, you see what I did there? Yeah. You know why? Because Jesus does say to love your enemies. Yeah. So check this. In 2004, Matt Emmon was winning the biathlon. In fact, he had such a commanding lead that when he got to the last target, he didn't need to get a bullseye. All he needed to get the gold medal was just to hit the target. So he gets there, he aims, he fires, and he hit it dead bullseye. Only one problem. He hit the wrong target. He was aiming at the wrong target. And because he completely missed his target, he did not get the gold medal. Today we are celebrating 4 years of Verve. It is our fourth birthday. And it really begs the question, what exactly are we celebrating? You know, what is it that we're aiming at? What is the target for us? And so this morning what I want to do is share with you three things that we always want to be about at Verve. And the first thing is that Verve exists to be a matchmaker, kind of a dating service. I don't know if you guys have ever seen these commercials for something called Equally Yoked. It's like a Christian dating service kind of thing. Well, one of my best friends had a friend who decided that he was going to give it a try. And so he went down to the Equally Yoked office, and they give you paperwork to fill out. He fills it all out. They give you a big questionnaire so that people can know who you are, fills it all out. And then he walks up, and he hands his paperwork to the secretary, at which time he is informed that the cost of joining Equally Yoked is $1,500. And so he was like, yeah, no thank you, and just walked out without paying, decided not to do it. A couple days later, he gets a phone call from the secretary at Equally Yoked, who had grabbed all of his paperwork before it could be thrown out, and was wondering if he'd like to go out on a date. My friend was like, "Dude, you beat the system! You got the date without paying, man! It's awesome!" You know, matchmaking is kind of a strange thing, right? Like, you get set up with this person who you don't know, and you go out on this blind date, and typically during the course of the date, you're going to find out that they are not the right match for you. They have a litany of bad habits as they bite their toenails throughout their dinner, you know. But what if it worked? What if you got set up with this person? Maybe it's a blind date, someone you know nothing about. Or maybe it's someone who you do know, But you've never thought of this person as a potential love interest. And you go out and you realize that this is the right person. Like, this is the person that you've been hoping for. And you realize they're perfect for you. You fall head over heels for them. And they do for you. And your life and your relationship just blossoms into this incredible romance. And it transforms you. Like, it changes what you think and how you talk and what you do. And your life just becomes, like, unspeakably great. I mean, that would be really cool, right? Well, Verve exists to be a matchmaker, kind of a dating service between people and God. The Bible says in one of its most famous passages, in John chapter 3, verse 16. And by the way, we'll put all the verses on the screen for you today so you can read them along with me. And if you need a Bible, we would love to give you one as a free gift. There's a stack of them back at the Velcro bar. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." And then the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, it says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous," and here's why, "to bring you to God." God sent Jesus so that you could connect to him, so you could be connected to God. You know, some people walk into Verve, and it really is like a blind date. They didn't grow up in church. They have very little experience with this whole God thing. Maybe that's you today. And so it's like very new and kind of maybe a little bit awkward and intimidating. And then there are other people who maybe they grew up knowing about God, but possibly never thought of him as like a potential love interest. It's like somebody you believe in, but not somebody you have like this love relationship with. But here's the deal. Either way, when you match a person up with God, you are guaranteed a perfect match. You're guaranteed a perfect match. And if this person walks through the doors, if you walk through these doors with an open heart and an open mind, man, what will end up happening is that you will fall in love with the God who has always been head over heels in love with you. That's what's going to happen. And we know that if we allow it, what happens is, and I know this sounds a little weird, maybe sounds a little bit girly, but it's true, that your life and your relationship with God starts to blossom into this romance, and it starts to transform everything about you, like how you think and how you talk and what you do, and your life just becomes like unspeakably great, and you start to have this goal in your life that you just want to make God smile because you know how much he loves you. And that's why we exist. We exist to be a matchmaker, a dating service between people and God. And many of you have had a love connection happen in these last 4 years at Verve in this place. You've come and you've fallen in love with God and realized how much he loves you, and your life is starting to take shape of this romance, and that's what it's all about. One person who made a love connection with God in the last year of Verve is a guy named Gary. Gary's a guy who had just absolutely no interest in God, just didn't care, and he was antagonistic towards church. But one night, he's driving home from his job at the casino, and in the middle of the night, has the radio on, song ends, and a radio ad for church, for Verve Church, comes on the radio. Get this straight. And so he's like, oh, it's for a church, and no thanks, and turns the station. But that song ends on this other station, and the same radio ad for Verve starts on that station. And he's like, come on, man, give me a break. Changes the station, that song ends, and the same radio ad for Verve comes on that station. And he starts to think, man, maybe this is more than a coincidence. Maybe I like need to do something. And so he decides to come check out Verve. And so he walks in here very skeptically, very cynically, and deservedly so, some real bad experiences in church. And something happens. And just the first impression he gets in the lobby, and then being a part of the service and watching the other people, he just kind of breaks down his defenses, and he decides he wants to come back, and he starts coming back every week, and eventually, like his heart starts to change as he understands how much God loves him, and eventually he comes to faith and gives his life to God. He starts this relationship with Jesus, and when that happens, when that really happens, man, you got to do something. Like just when your heart explodes like that, you've got to do something about it. And so what Gary does is he starts going down and finding groups of homeless people and giving them cold bottles of water. And then he decides to do more, so he starts bringing like lunch to these groups of homeless people. And then some other people at Verve hear about it, and they're like, man, we'll help. And so they start showing up here at 12 and making lunches and going down at 1 o'clock. They feed big groups, like 80 or so homeless people. And one of the people that they serve lunch to a few weeks in a row is a guy named Angel. And after a couple weeks of this, Angel says to Gary and his group of friends from Verve, he says, man, I'd like to help you serve lunch, not instead of just receiving it. And they said, oh, man, yeah, we'd love that. That would be great. So the next Tuesday, they show up at 12 o'clock to make the lunches, and Angel is standing outside church here waiting for them. And so they say, knowing his situation, they say, how did you get here? And he says, I jogged 13 miles. He jogged 13 miles. And so they're like, okay, great. So he helps them make lunch, and then he goes down, and instead of being served lunch, he helps serve lunch. And at the end of that day, he said, you know, I'd really like to come and check out your church sometime. And they said, oh, we'd love that. That would be great. And so that Sunday, they show up for church, and standing outside waiting for them is Angel. And so they say, how did you get here? And he says, I jogged. Kind of like, duh, we've already been through this. He jogged 13. So let's just pause for a moment and make sure we're all getting this. He jogged 13 miles to be in this service, okay? Like, some of you won't show up if you don't get your full 8 hours of sleep. He jogged 13 miles. Some of you won't make an appearance if you're having a bad hair day. He jogged 13 miles to be here. Okay, awesome. So Angel shows up, and that very first day, just hears the message that God loves him, and God's offering to forgive him and give him a new life, and it just, like, boom. Like, he hears it, he gets it, he understands it, and he gives his life to God. He comes to faith in Jesus, and what he did was he made a love connection. And that's why we exist. That's why we do what we do on Sunday mornings and Monday nights, and we hope someday to have a service every single day of the week here in this building. And the reason is because we exist to be a matchmaker. And let me ask you this. Don't you want that? Like, if you're here today and you've never yet made that love connection with God, and isn't there something inside of you that knows that there is something that you're missing? Isn't there something inside of you that knows that what you are seeking in life, what you are made for, is love? And maybe you've gone far enough in life to realize that there is no person who can ever love you with the kind of love that your soul longs for. We can get love in life, but we can't get this perfect, unconditional love that we have this need for. And what you need, the love that you've been looking for your entire life, is God's love. I mean, you can find it here. That's why we do what we do here. We exist to be matchmakers. And you know, in Las Vegas, of the 2 million people who live here, I'm going to say, like, there's at least 1.5 million people, probably a lot more, who are disconnected from God, not experiencing his love, not living in a relationship with him day by day. And they're living lives where they know there's something more, and they're dissatisfied, and they're facing the rest of their lives right now without God's love, and the rest of eternity without God's love. And that's why we do what we do. And so this next year of Verve, what we're going to do is we're going to bring in a whole lot more people into this room so we can help them get connected to God, and we won't even charge them $1,500. So there you go. And check this out. It's not just us corporately. It's not like, okay, so this is like the target for us as a church. No, this is also like us individually. This is the mission of your life. The mission of your life is to help people get connected to God. And when you start to realize that and live it, it changes everything. It makes your life into this meaningful adventure. So like at work, instead of viewing that difficult coworker as a frustration in your day, no, you start to realize, man, that's just a person who needs God's love as much as I do, you know? And what I need to do, instead of getting annoyed, is try to figure out, how do I get them connected to God's love? Because that's what they're looking for. Next week, we're starting a brand new series called Learning to Love Your Job. I bet you have a lot of friends who don't go to church, maybe have no interest in church, but don't enjoy their jobs. And it's just a great series to say, hey, come and even if you're not interested in church or God, man, maybe there's some cool things you can learn about how to love your job. And so invite a bunch of people back next week, because that's why we exist. We exist to be matchmakers. That's the target. A second picture of what our church has been and is and will always be is that we exist to be a gaggle of geese. We used to want to be a flock of seagulls, but we couldn't stand the haircuts. Yeah. Are any of you old enough to remember Flock of Seagulls from the 80s? You remember? And so I ran so far away, I couldn't get away. You know what's great about that performance was the choreography. Did you like that? It wasn't just the singing. It was like the you know, both happening at the same time. You don't get that everywhere. Like, that just happened. But we don't exist to be a flock of seagulls. We exist to be a gaggle of geese. So here's something interesting. Geese actually live in community. People who study geese have found this. So like you see it in all kinds of ways. So geese fly in a V formation. And that by doing that, it allows the whole flock to add 71% more flying range than if each bird flew alone. Wow. And geese take turns flying out in the front position, which is the most difficult position. And when the lead goose gets tired, it actually drops back in the formation. And another goose will, like, jump into that position and take the difficult spot for a while. And the reason that geese, like, honk while they're flying through the air is to encourage each other and kind of keep that front lead goose going. And most interesting, if a goose gets, like, sick or too tired or shot and starts to go down, two geese will always drop out of formation, go down with it, and stay with it to protect and kind of care for it until it gets better enough to fly or until it dies. And that is a great picture of what Verve is all about. Verve exists to be a community of love. That's what we've been trying to be, that's what we are, and that's what we're becoming. You know, maybe you've seen a church, gone to a church, heard of churches where it's like Sunday morning is the deal. Like, this is what it's all about. Like you know, you show up, you get your religious fix, and you go home. It's kind of ends out. But that is not what God intended for church. In the Bible, we get to read stories of the early churches, the churches that were taught and trained up by Jesus himself. And the pictures we get, you see, man, that was not it. God has always intended for his church to be a family. A family. Not a dysfunctional family like some of us grew up in. You don't have to raise your hand. I will raise my hand right here, okay? Not that kind of family, but a family of support and encouragement and love and tenderness and forgiveness and patience and joy. I love the way Jesus talked about this in that same book, John, in chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. Here's what he says. He says, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another." And check this out. He says, "By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples." So you are my followers, right? "If you love one another." And so the idea is that followers of Jesus should be marked by love. And especially the love that they have for each other. So like people who are kind of on the outside should look in and say, "Man, I've never seen anything quite like that. Like, look at the way those people, like love each other and what they do for each other, how they serve each other, the sacrifices they make for each other. Look at how they, like, they laugh together and they cry for each other. What is that? What is that?" That's church. That's what God has called church to be. That's what God has called Verve to be. Not a place where you go in and go out, but a place where you know and are known, where you accept and are accepted, where you love and are loved. And that's why we have microgroups. Microgroups, which I'm thinking maybe we should rename geese groups. Maybe not. But microgroups are like 3 to 5 guys or 3 to 5 girls who get together once a week, usually for an hour, maybe an hour and a half, and you just do life together. You just share life. You kind of share life, pointing in the direction of God. Like, how do we support each other in this thing? How do we grow together? And microgroups are the ideal environment for that kind of community and those kind of relationships to form. That's what they're all about. We actually asked some of the people in Verve's microgroups, which you know, there are a lot of people in our microgroups, but we asked them to share, like, what has your microgroup meant to you? And we got a ton of responses back, but here are just 3. Lauren wrote, "I've been a part of a microgroup here at Verve for almost 2 years now. 2 amazing years. The bond I share with the girls in my group has impacted just about every aspect of my life, especially my relationship with God and the closeness I feel to Him. There's nothing like it. Whether I need spiritual guidance, prayer, motivation, a lifted spirit, or just a good laugh, I can always count on my microgroup. They have gotten me through some pretty difficult times in my life. When I look back, I don't know how I could have gotten through some things without their support." That's pretty cool. Jim wrote, "Thanks to the patient love for me, which I still struggle with at times, I can truly say that I not only respect the men in my group, but I love them as friends. And I find it easier for me to accept God's love for me, which I still struggle with at times, because I know that there are others who see value in me even when I don't see it in myself. I've been privileged to see in my group a microcosm of God. They are the lifeline that reminds me that no matter what, God is with me, for me, and loves me. And then Valerie wrote, "The fact that I can bring something up that I am struggling with and know someone will ask about it later makes it easier to make the right choices in the midst of a dilemma. Also, hearing about small and big ways others are turning the world upside down is encouraging and keeps me looking for ways that I can do the same." And that's why, if you're not in a microgroup, you're missing out on a big part of what Verve is all about. And more importantly for you, you're missing out on something that you're missing. And the reason is because we were built for relationships. We were built for that. Now, developing relationships is more difficult for some of us. You don't have to raise your hand. Me. Okay, I'm that person. Probably because some of us grew up in dysfunctional homes. You don't have to raise your hand, but me, I'm that person. And so it may be difficult, but still, we need some deep friendships. We need that. And we live in a city where relationships are really hard to come by. And that's why we need microgroups. Because that's where those it just doesn't happen in a group this size. You know, and so you need a smaller group where you can form those kind of friendships and experience why we exist. Because that's the target. We exist to be a gaggle of geese. The third and last picture of who we've been and who we are and who we're becoming is that we exist to be the New York Yankees of the late 1990s. Now, let me tell you this. I hate the New York Yankees, okay? I hate them. And don't tweet me, "But Vince, doesn't God say to love your enemies?" He wasn't talking about the Yankees. Okay? I hate the Yankees. Like, since I've been old enough to have feelings of hatred in my soul, my first feelings of hatred were for the New York Yankees. Are you getting the idea? I hate the Yankees. I hate the Yankees like North Korea hates South Korea. I hate the Yankees like Duke fans hate Tar Heel fans. I hate the Yankees like Justin Bieber hates rational decision-making. You want me to keep going? I hate the Yankees like your intestines hate Taco Bell. I'll stop. I can keep going. But I hate the Yankees. But even I have to admit that there was something special about the Yankees of the late 1990s. So the Yankees went to the World Series in 1996, 1998, 1999, 2000, 2001, and 2003. I just threw up in my mouth a little bit. So the Yankees went to all those World Series. But here's the amazing thing about their team. It was not a roster that was dominated by all-stars. Okay, now, like the 1920s Yankees had like Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig. And later the Yankees had like Joe DiMaggio and Mickey Mantle and Yogi Berra. Some amazing players. But the late 1990s, early, they didn't have that. You know, they did have Derek Jeter. But, man, it was real early in his career, and he wasn't quite the all-star he would become. They did have Tim Raines, but it was really late in his career, and he was kind of past his prime and no longer an all-star. It was not a team loaded with all-stars. It was just a group of guys who each knew the role that they were supposed to play, and they did it. They worked together as a team, and they each did their part to the best of their ability. I mean, like some of the key players were guys that even if you like baseball, you probably don't remember. Guys like Graham Lloyd and Jeff Nelson and Chad Curtis. They weren't all-stars, but they were key players on this team. And because everyone played together as a team and played their part and did their best, man, they ended up winning a bunch of World Series. And the church is supposed to be like that. And that is a picture, as much as I hate to admit it, of the church. So, like, listen to this. In the book called Romans, written to people who lived in Rome, in chapter 12, verses 3 through 5, I'll put it on the screen. It says, "By the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body, like your physical human body, with many members, like different parts of your body, right? And these members do not all have the same function, like your arms don't do the same thing as your legs, your toes as your fingers. So in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. So the idea is that we're all part of the same body, of the same team. And each of us has a very critical role to play on that team. And the idea is, man, don't think of yourself as like being so important that you're like the MVP. Like I'm the all-star in this team. But also, don't think of yourself as being like lower than you are. Don't think of yourself as not being important and like, they won't miss me if I don't serve. I'm not. No. The idea is every single person in a church has a critical role to play. And we each need to play the role that God has given to us. I just said gaven instead of given. Did you notice that? That's pretty good. And so let me just ask this. Like, don't you want that? Don't you want that? Like to know that your life matters and is really making a difference. I mean, there are so many people, and I'm going to say most people, who just live this monotony, right, of doing the same thing day after day after day after day. And the thing is, none of it really matters. And they know it. But man, we refuse to live that way. Right? We refuse to live that way. What we've decided is that our lives matter too much for them not to matter. And so what we need to do is get ourselves on God's team and start playing for something that matters for all eternity. Right? To make a real difference with our lives. So when we get to the end of it, we can look back and say, my life made a difference. And if we do that, we will accomplish the mission that God has set out for us, which is being matchmakers, being a gaggle of geese. And I'll tell you, that's what we did this last year. You know, it's easy, probably, for some of you to focus on the people that you see here up on stage, like this sexiness right here. It's easy for you to kind of focus on that. But anyone who really knows what's going on at Verve, if you've been around and you like kind of, you're like, man, this is a total team effort. This is not about a couple people you see. This is a total team effort. It is a group of individuals, each playing their part, and that is a big part of the reason that God has done some really amazing things these last 4 years at Verve. You know, when you win a World Series, you get some recognition. Like, there's, like, a ticker tape parade, and you go to the White House and meet the president. And we thought, it would be kind of cool, because we don't do this. We've never done this kind of thing. But maybe we should recognize our team and just, like, thank them and show them that we appreciate what they do to be a part of this team. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to name some different teams here at Verve. And if you're a part of that team, you're going to hate this, but would you just stand up and just for a second and let us say thank you for what you do. And you don't have to be, just stand up. It'll be fine. So if you lead one of our microgroups, would you just stand up for a second and let us say thank you. And so, man, thank you guys so much. You are so important in what we do here at Verve. And thank you so much. If you help kind of administratively, or if you teach one of our Verve University courses that we offer to help people grow spiritually and in life, would you stand if you help out with Verve University? Got anybody in here? A couple people? Yeah, man, thank you so much. How about this? Now, every ministry is important, but and you may not like this, but there's one ministry that's most important, and it just is, and it's children's ministry. Like, taking care of the kids that God has trusted to us is the most important. Everybody else is important, too, but kids are the most important. And so if you volunteer with our kids ministry, man, would you stand up and let us say thank you for what you do? Thank you so much. You guys are awesome. What about student ministry, which is like middle and high schoolers, like teenagers? If you volunteer with student ministry, would you stand up and let us say thank you? Thank you guys. I love serving with you guys. Hey, I'll pause real quick. We have a really cool announcement. So some of you heard this, some of you haven't, but next month we have a new staff member joining us named Amy Bowles, and Amy is going to oversee our children's ministry and student ministry. We like hit the jackpot here. She serves at a church in Indiana where she's been for several years. It's a church of like 6,000 or 7,000 people. In her area that she is responsible for, she has over 400 volunteers just in her area, which is a little more than we have in our church right now. So she's really great. You guys are loving her. And she happens to be here today for our birthday. Amy, would you just kind of wave at everybody? That's Amy. If you would like to meet Amy, ask her a question, give her a high five or a hug or something, I'm going to make her stand back here with me where I was hanging out after service. Let's get back to it. So, like, let's honor some of the people who serve behind the scenes, and you would never know who they are or what they do. So, like, we have a tech team that makes it possible for things to be on the screen and lights and smoke and all that kind of stuff. If you're in the tech team, including you guys who are back there, would you stand up and let's say thank you to you? Awesome. Thank you guys so much. We couldn't do this service without you guys. We have a frontline team, which is what we call it. It's people who make the communion, and they don't make the communion. They're not like back there baking bread and stomping grapes with their feet. But, you know, they prepare the communion, and they make the coffee. They actually make the coffee. Would you stand up if you do one of those things for us? Thank you. Thank you guys so much. Thank you. Facilities team, these are people who get here way before you guys do and clean the building and fix things when they're broken. Anybody from the facility team? We had a bunch last service. Thank you, Jim. Thank you, guys. A couple teams that you do see because they're in more kind of obvious positions, but they don't get thanked very much. If you're on the host team or the Velcro bar team, like you're the smiling face and the person who answers questions, would you guys stand up if you're in here? Thank you, guys, so much for what you do. Awesome. The band, if you're in the band, some of you are back there, some of you are still around, if you're in the band, would you stand up? Most bands in most churches, the deal is like you show up and you need to know three chords and play Kumbaya. Our band every week is like practicing on Saturdays, learning Metallica and Led Zeppelin and U2 songs. That's a lot of work, so thank you guys for what you do. We have some compassion, we call them compassion ministries, like Dean Peterson and missions teams that we send around the world, stuff like that. If you're on one of those teams, would you stand up? And then I think we're done, but thank you. If we have anybody in here, thank you. Thank you. All right, my hands hurt. We need to stop. Thank you. Man, that is a great team. Like, that is a great team, and that's a big part of the reason God's been able to do what he's done is because of that team. But even with a great team like that, there are a few things that we know will be true, okay? First, we know that a lot of those team members are moving every single year of Verve. We've lost a ton of people just through people moving away from Las Vegas. And can I just say, stop. Stop it, okay? Stop. Like, what if we all just stayed? And, like, what if we just said, let's just stick together and do this and love Las Vegas? Like, how cool would that be? So stop moving, okay? But we're just going to assume people are going to keep moving because you don't listen to me very much. Second, we know that our church is going to keep growing. I don't know if you've noticed how much we've been growing. Do you notice, like, every week you show up, there's, like, an extra row of chairs, and then today I apologize to all of you standing and, like, stuff back there. But that's a really cool thing, right? And it's not cool. It's not cool because of numbers. It's not like, oh, look at the numbers. It's cool because we're a matchmaker, and so more and more people coming and getting experience and know about God's love for them, which is really cool. In fact, if you ask most churches, what was your biggest attendance ever? Almost every church in the world is going to say last Easter or last Christmas because those are your big days. If you ask us, what was our biggest attendance day ever? It was last Sunday. It was last week. And so God just keeps bringing more people, which is cool. And the other thing we know is there's going to be challenges this year. I don't know what they'll be, but every year you get some new challenges. And what all that means is that even with the great team we have, we need to make that team bigger and better, okay? And so we need to add more players to our team. And so if you're a person who's kind of been like more sitting in the stands as a spectator watching, going, this is cool, but I'm kind of watching, we still love you if you want. Like we could do a big group hug after and get together, hug. We still love you, but we really need you to get on the team. Now, if you're here for the first time, I'm not talking to you. Just kind of, you know, check us out and see how you feel about this. But if you've been coming for a while and you're not serving, man, we really need you to jump in so that we can do all the things that God has for us to do in Las Vegas. All right? And as God gives us more people, we need more people to be able to love on it and minister to those people. And so if you did not stand up on any of those teams, or maybe you stood up but you realized, man, what I do, it takes like a couple minutes. It's really not much. I want to encourage you to make the decision today to get on the team. To say, you know what, instead of feeling bad or convicted or guilty, like, I'm going to use this as a chance to jump in and serve. And so today we put on your seats one of our first serve cards. And it looks like this. And so I would encourage you to fill this out today and leave it in the offering bucket on your way out. The idea with this is not that you're committing for life. And so it's not like, you know, you're going to be 83 years old going, I'm still doing this and I hate it. But instead, the idea is that you're going to serve in a position one time to kind of kick the tires and just see, like, is this a good fit for me? If it is, then we'll be like, great, can we get you on the team? If you're on the team, you might serve every other week or every other month, and we'll talk to you about that. But if you don't like it, we'll say, well, then don't do that. Like, don't do something you don't enjoy. Like, let's find something else. And we'll kind of let you try out a few things until you go, this is it. And then we'll get you on that team, okay? And so I want to encourage you to fill that out today and make your life have a greater impact this year than it had last year. I mean, when you start doing that, there's just nothing more exciting. There's nothing more exciting than knowing that your life matters, that you're doing something significant with your life, and you're doing it with a bunch of other people as a team having fun doing it. That's awesome. So that's all I have to say. Except for the most important thing I have to say, which is this. You know, so I talked about why we exist. We exist to help people kind of fall in love with God and grow with Him, to be a community of love, ignore the band, to be a team that works together to accomplish God's mission for us, which, by the way, if you've been coming for a while, you might realize we usually talk about this in a different way, but same thing. We say that we are God stalkers, Grace Wholesalers, Gorilla Lovers. Same thing, okay? But that's how we talk about it. We recognize our team. We applauded for them. But here's the thing I didn't say, and it's the most important thing. It's that Verve is a God thing. Verve is a God thing. I mean, God is using us to do it, which is, like, really fun and an honor. But, like, we could never do this on our own. Like, this is only happening because God is doing this through us, and it's a God thing. I love this passage in a book called Ephesians. It was written to people who lived in Ephesus. Those people were called Ephesians, and it says this. It says, now to him, talking about God, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. And the deal is that God has been at the center of Verve from the first day of Verve. He has been leading us every step of the way. And he has done, as this passage says, more than we asked for or imagined. And every life that's been changed, every person who's been served, every group that's been started, every prayer that has been answered has been a God thing. And to God goes all the glory forever and ever. Amen. And so in a second, I think since we applauded for us and the hard work we've put in, I think we should applaud for God and let him know that we know this is a God thing. But well, we've got a weird way that we do this here at Verve. That's probably like unholy or something. Forgive me. So a lot of churches have traditions, right? Maybe you've gone to church when you're kind of like they have traditions. We don't have like the normal traditions. We've got a weird tradition. This tradition started when our church started. It started in my living room with six people. That's how Verve started. And when your church is all of six people, it's a little on the lame side. But we believe that we were on the verge of something big. Right? We were like, no, this is going to happen. And so we developed a little weird tradition back then that just to encourage us and to recognize that, you know what, you can't see it right now, but something's about to happen here. And it is happening, right? And so what we would do is what I call a Rudy clap from the movie Rudy. There's a lot of movies, especially in the 80s, that had this. And what would happen is there'd be this big moment that's about to happen where, like, the movie's going to change here. But nobody recognized it. Like, everybody's just kind of, like, there, and they're not seeing it. And there'd be one person, just one person, who would, like, look and they'd be like, just one person. Hey, I'm the one person. And so they would be like that, right? And then one other person would go like, yeah. And they would kind of join it. And then somebody else would be like, uh-huh. And so, like, pretty soon, like, more and more people are like, this is it. Like, we are on the brink of something big. Like, something really cool is about to happen here. And everything that's happened here is because of God. And so he deserves all of our applause. And we should sing to him. Let's do it.